The bell rang, and the savage, who was impatiently hoping that Helmholtz would come that afternoon, for having at last made up his mind to talk to Helmholtz about Lenina, he could not bear to postpone his confidences a moment longer, jumped up and ran to the door. "I had a premonition it was you, Helmholtz," he shouted as he opened. On the threshold, in a white acetate satin sailor suit, and with a round white cap rakishly tilted over her left ear, stood Lenina.
"Oh!"
said the savage, as though someone had struck him a heavy blow. Half a gram had been enough to make Lenina forget her fears and her embarrassments.
"Hello, John,"
she said, smiling, and walked past him into the room. Automatically he closed the door and followed her. Lenina sat down. There was a long silence.
"You don't seem very glad to see me, John," she said at last. "Not glad?"
The savage looked at her reproachfully, then suddenly fell on his knees before her, and taking Lenina's hand, reverently kissed it.
"Not glad? Oh, if you only knew,"
he whispered, and, venturing to raise his eyes to her face,
"admired Lenina," he went on. "Indeed, the top of admiration, worth what's dearest in the world."
She smiled at him with a luscious tenderness.
"Oh, you so perfect."
She was leaning towards him with parted lips.
"So perfect and so peerless are created,"
nearer and nearer,
"of every creature's best,"
still nearer. The savage suddenly scrambled to his feet.
"That's why," he said, speaking with averted face, "I wanted to do something first. I mean, to show I was worthy of you. Not that I could ever really be that, but at any rate to show I wasn't absolutely unworthy, I wanted to do something."